Give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Yes, my name is Michael Sheldon. I'm running for a gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party, and I'm a conservative. I'm from Petersburg, Alaska. I was born and raised there, and my father was born in Wrangell. My mother was born in Cake, and I've been there the whole time with my mother, is of 91 years of age, and I have a Filipina wife, and I have a little baby girl, and I got two other children, and I've fished in a commercial fishing industry for 22 years and fished in Bristol Bay, worked on the Alyeska pipeline, worked at the Kensington Gold Mine. I worked for Associated Sand and Gravel out of Everett and paved airports and roads all through southeast Alaska, built roads in Skagway, and so I've been around the state. It's come out of college, out of Peninsula College, as a welder mechanic, and was involved in putting the vertical support members into the pipeline. Was involved in mechanicking and shops and welding trucks together with broken frames. And so I've been around the state, and it's been a really exciting adventure for the last 40-some plus years.
And what are you doing now?
I'm a handyman. I worked at Alaska Marine Highway System. And after the Alaska Marine Highway System, as a desk clerk, so to speak, and after that, I decided I wanted to go back to being an independent entrepreneur. And I put in 10 years into that skill. And my father taught me how to carpentry work, and so I took his skills, and I'm carrying it on for him.
Why did you decide to run for governor?
Well, I was doing just fine sitting at home and working and doing my jobs. And I noticed that one day on the news, I heard that Governor Walker was going to veto the permanent fund money from the people. And I became upset over it. And I says, how can they do that? Governor Hammett set up the permanent fund. He said it was going to be permanent. And he also said that one day they are going to rise up and take the money from the people. And I was hoping that day wasn't going to come, and it did show up 2 years ago. So I decided, well, I can't allow that to happen, because if that happens, no one else is going to come up to the plate and take a swing at it. They're going to sit home and not do anything. And I know that I'm called to stand up and fight for the people. I'm not a politician. I'm not a politician. I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a common man like every individual in Alaska, and I think it's important that we protect the rights of Alaskans. And if we don't do that, I believe that the permanent fund is going to be taken away from the people. They just put a bill together, SB 26. They're going to take 3 years of the next year dividend. And they do have a clause in the bill stating that at any time they can take all the fund money away from the people. And it's going to take a governor that's going to fight and stand up and stop them in their tracks. And as an executive director, I've already talked to a few representatives and a senator about what they're doing to our permanent fund. And I'm letting them know early on in the game that when I become governor of Alaska, I'm going to take executive action to stop them in their tracks. And there's so many things going on in our government that people are not aware of it. And I want to make our government and everything transparent to the people. And it's going to be an open book policy for Alaska to see exactly where all our money is. And if there's hidden money out there, we're going to open it up and find it. We have $17.6 billion in earnings reserve account right now. We have oil now that it's at $77 per barrel. We have a CBR fund that's about $2.1 billion. So what they've been doing is they've been focusing on a CBR, and they've been focusing on the oil. But now the oil is rebounding, and we're at $77 a barrel, and the stock market created $101 million in one day off our earning reserve. And so what I want to do is I have a plan, a budget plan, and it's an awesome plan. It's called an 81-9-10 plan. 81% of the money is going to be used to run Alaska, the state. 9% of the money is going to be used for a competitive And so that those money, like let's say if we use $10 billion, $300 million would be given to the House, $300 million would be given to the Senate, and $300 million will be given to the, our administration as a competitive fund. So what that does is we're going to use that money for the infrastructure of Alaska to build Alaska back up. Now, if we don't use all the money and we don't cooperate properly and we don't spend all the money, and let's say we leave $200 million on a table, roll it into the CBR fund. Because the only way that the House and the Senate could get into the CBR fund is by a 75% vote. We're going to take the general fund and we're going to eliminate it altogether. And we're going to designate funds, check and balance, so that we know that if money is going to into a particular project, that it'll be transparent to the people of Alaska.
What sources of revenue do you see?
Well, we have, like I said earlier, we have $17.6 billion in earning reserve, but the earning reserve is a stock market fund. So if the stock was to fall and crash right now, we could lose billions of dollars. What I would like to do is take some of that money out and roll it into the CBR fund. The 89-10 plan is the 10% I'm going to ask all the umbrella agencies all over the state of Alaska to take a 10% cut, which is going to be $935 million. What I want to ask them to do is them to make the cut. So let's take an example here. If you have 10 pencils sitting on a table, we're going to take one pencil away from them and leave them 9. So we'll roll that money into the CBR fund because there's a lot of waste that we don't know about. You know, did you know that there's jobs that have been created with no one sitting behind the desk and the money is sitting there? We're gonna find out where that money is, and we're gonna use that appropriately. I think it's really important that the state opens up the books of the people, and the people know what's going on in our state government.
So you mentioned the permanent fund and the budget. What are some other issues that you would like to pursue?
Okay, I'm an old school Republican. I'm a conservative Republican. I'm not a fly-by-night Republican. I'm not a Republican that is a marshmallow, but a strong core, hardcore Republican. What I'm going to do on the first day, my executive order is to stop abortion in Alaska immediately, because I will not have the blood of babies on my hands when I become governor. I do support David Eastman's bill, House Bill 250 and House Bill 251. To make it illegal for anyone to kill any more of our children. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because we have to think about this. Is our state a blessed state or is our state a cursed state? According to what I believe, our state is a cursed state. Well, why do I say that? Is because we're killing off our future generations of children. We're killing off our House, our Senate, our mayors, our governors, our presidents. We're not giving them a chance to live. And I am a true, honest Republican that's going to fight for the children. Another thing that is on my platform is the permanent fund dividend. Governor Hammond said that the permanent fund was supposed to be permanent. But he did say one day they're going to come after it before he passed away. And this day has come. And now it's time for someone to rise up and protect it before it's totally taken from the people and used up by special interest groups. And I think that we need to look out for our future generations of Alaska. They're going to say to us, our children are going to say, what did you leave me? Pardon me. What did you leave me? We left you nothing. And I am not going to do that to our children.
The Alaska Marine Highway System is very important to Southeast. What is your view on...
I worked for the Alaska Marine Highway as a ticket agent in Petersburg, and I've talked to many, many people on the highway system, and I've been raised on the highway system ever since I was just a young little boy. I've seen the Matanuska and the Malaspina and the Lekaunte and the Aurora and the Taku and the Kennecott all go by our community. And they cut the budget on the system of $35 million just last year. And I spoke to the director and the council in Ketchikan day before yesterday. I was invited to the meeting, and I asked if I could stand up and speak, and I was given the floor. And I spoke, and I said to them that the $35 million that was taken away from you, we will return it back to you. I think that the Alaska Marine Highway is a very, very important part of our life and our communities around Southeast. I said to them that we will build a new ship, a big ship, that's going to take care of our elders and the people that work so very hard in the state, so that they, when they step aboard the vessel, that they'll have the comforts of a stateroom and a shower and all the convenience that they need, because it's important that we honor and respect our elders. I said to the director and the council of Ketchikan that we need to streamline the system to make it more efficient. Right now, they're running effectively 37 cents on a dollar, which is very poor. So what I said to them is that we need to get rid of the two fast ferries. I believe that one is almost sold and the other one's going to be sold. The reason why I said that is because they're a waste of taxpayers' dollars. They're made out of aluminum, they're fast, and they're made and designed to keep full at all times, the deck full and the passengers full, so that they can run efficiently. So when we came into Ketchikan a few days ago, I noticed that up on the dry docks, there was a brand new ferry being built in Ketchikan. I seen Alaskans and people working, and it made me proud to see a ferry in Ketchikan being made. I know the other one's being made south, but at least we're halfway there. So I think that if we were to build an access road from Canada into Ketchikan, which I'm going to leave up to the people of the Ketchikan to take a vote on and figure if they would like to do that, then what that will do is that will bring in product in from the lower 48 into Southeast Alaska, and you'll see prices of groceries and different commodities drop in price, and you'll see Alaska Marine Lines, means now that they have competition, will have no choice but to lower their prices in the freight line. The problem with Southeast Alaska is we don't have competition. And in certain areas, and when there is no competition, then the value of what they're selling their product for or what they're shipping their product for rises. We need to get infrastructure built in the interior that's going to have refineries in it. And when we build the gas line, if we ever build a gas line, we're not going to build it as one gas line. We're going to build it in three phases, phase one, phase two, phase three. I would like to build a refinery outside of Prudhoe Bay and bring the gas down into Fairbanks and serve Fairbanks and Nome and Kotzebue. And after it returns into the black and starts creating money, then I'm going to roll that money into phase two, and we're going to drop it into Anchorage. And when that starts creating money and making lots of money, then we'll roll it right on down into the ocean area. And it could be valleys. It could be a port. I haven't decided that, and we haven't decided that. But Texas has 30 refineries in their state. Alaska has one, Dismal Refinery. I would like to build several refineries in Alaska to serve the people first. I think it's important that the people get the gas and the petroleum products first, and their prices of fuel will drop from $1.50 to $2 a gallon. The stove oil in different communities will have less price on fuel. I would like to see a railroad built from Fairbanks to Nome. I would like to see Nome not have honey buckets anymore and have a sewer system. I would like to see businesses that come into Alaska charge them no tax coming in. You can come in for free into our state. Amazon, you're more than welcome to come to Anchorage, and we will not tax you. But when you start rolling into the profits and start gaining and providing a good income, then we'll tax you appropriately. I like to see a factory built to build boxes for Amazon, so that the people can come in and go to work in a factory and make $22, $25, $26 an hour with a 401k plan and CD plans and so on. There's so much that we could do for the state of Alaska. We're the largest and richest state in the union, but yet we're the poorest according to our legislators and our governor. And I want to make it very, very clear to all the people of this state that we are not broke. We are very wealthy and rich. In the next 4 years, you're going to see a wealth boom in this state that's going to blow the whole lower 48 away because the price of fuel is coming up. We're going to leave a legacy for our children. It's going to be awesome. And it's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's just common sense. It's all it is. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help Alaska grow. We've been over to POW. We've been here in Ketchikan. We're heading on up to Sitka. We're going to go to Anchorage, and we're going to Kenai, and we're going to the Crab Fest in Kodiak. And we've got another plan to hit Fairbanks and Nome and Kotzebue, and we're going all over the state. We don't have funding coming in. We don't have money coming in, but I believe so strongly that I have to go out and do this, because if I don't, our state in 4 years, I believe, is going to be bankrupt. And I believe that the government is going to put us under their feet and rule over us. And it's time for the people of the state of Alaska to rise up and fight against them, because I believe there's tyranny happening in this state. And I believe in the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment states that it is there to protect us against government. Our Second Amendment rights. I will protect the Second Amendment rights of Alaska. No one will come into this state and take our guns away from us. No one will do it. And I will talk with President Trump, and I will convey the messages to him, and I'll ask for government money. But when I ask for government money, I'm not going to have them say to us, well, we'll give you government money if you do this. I'll say there's not going to be none of that. You're going to give us government money, and then there's not going to be any stipulations in it. You're going to help us grow. I would like to build a Kinnick Bridge across and put a deep water port over in Anchorage so that the Navy can come in and have a deep water port, and so that the tourism people can come in. I would like to open up all that land over there. Did you know that only 1% of the people in the state own property? And it's governed by the state and by the federal government, owned by it. I want to change it and turn that around so that the people start taking ownership of Alaska. The land, it belongs to the people. That the word is called common. If people don't understand what the word common means, is that everything that comes out of the ground, it belongs to the people of Alaska. So the oil royalties that are coming out of Prudhoe Bay, you're receiving a permanent fund from that. Any gold that comes out of the ground, any coal that comes out of the ground, any resource that comes out of the ground, we are going to make a permanent fund for the people of Alaska. So not only will you get a permanent from oil, you'll get it from gold and silver and everything. So one day you're going to be sitting there and you're going to receive a $10,000 check. You know why? It's not something free. It's something that's owed to you, because that is what Alaska's all about. We broke our compact, if you know that, on the Anwar deal. They opened up a small area in Anwar, and before we became a state, we had agreed with the federal government of what called a 90-10 split. The reason why we have a 90-10 split is because government said to us, you take care of your state, you're an independent state. That 90% is there to cover your infrastructure of your state. You'll take care of it. Well, just recently, we broke that compact by called a 50-50 split, which I believe is totally wrong. They took 40% of our compact away from it. If I was governor of Alaska, I would never have allowed that. I would have negotiated a 90-10 split, kept our sovereignty, and we need to protect our state. And I just don't think that a government should be taking, they should be giving more than taking. It's a responsibility. We're sitting on top of the world. I think that our military needs to protect us from dangers of North Korea and other areas. The LNG pipeline is a very, very, very important issue coming up. I am going to veto the LNG pipeline, and I'll tell you why. Governor Walker went over to China with President Trump, and they agreed on a memorandum of agreement that the Chinese will take 75% ownership of our pipeline. Also in that is that they're going to bring the Chinese people in to build our pipeline. So these are two things that I'm very, very against. One is we need to take 51% ownership of our pipeline at the minimum. And two, we need to put Alaskans to work and not Chinese people coming in and taking over. The Chinese are just about within reach of being the most powerful nation in the world. They're cutting it really close now. And it's called globalism. And if we allow the Chinese into Alaska to take ownership, guess what they can do? They can shut the valve off anytime they want to. They can use the power of the oil to stop many things in our state and the nation. And we should not ever, ever allow that. And so there are so many important issues to talk about. There really is never enough time to say it all. But you get the gist of what I'm trying to say to the people of Alaska. I am here to protect the rights of Alaskans.